The Lord be with you. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This past week, I learned that Jesus was right, that we cannot bear all the things that are to come, and if Jesus told us ahead of time, we might just give up. Because you see, this past week, I went down to Rancho Santa Marta, a school and orphanage for special needs children in Mexico. And I knew there would be a lot of things there that would be tough to bear, right? I've gone in years past before the pandemic, and I knew that there would be things like putting up siding, and sure enough, that's one of the things we did. I knew there'd be things like pouring concrete or working in a farm, and sure enough, I ended up working with a team of guys in this next picture to put up a fence around an acre of habanero peppers. And at the end of 2 days, I was feeling really tired. Yeah, I was achy and sore, and I was like, wow, am I going to be able to bear this for 3 more days? And then the next morning, our director of youth and children ministry, Josh, tested positive for COVID. And Marge, a member of our church who's also a nurse, said, let's test you, Pastor. And she tested me, and sure enough, I was positive for COVID. And I will admit, my first thought in that moment was, thank God. Because I'd only done 2 weeks or 2 days worth of labor, and my body was sore and tired and aching. I had been thinking to myself, is this because I'm about to turn 40? No, it's just COVID. I'm fine. You know, and then there were some problems that came from that, right? It did mean that instead of getting to do the projects with everyone else, instead of getting to play with the kids at the school, I got to spend the next few days on a lumpy mattress with no air conditioning. It was not terrible, but if Jesus had told me ahead of time, Ben, if you go down to Mexico, you're going to get COVID, I would have said to Jesus, no thanks, I don't want to do that. I would have opted out. In John chapter 16, Jesus starts the chapter by telling his disciples about the hardships that they're going to face, the persecutions they're going to experience for being his followers. He tells them that they're going to be kicked out of their religious communities, and in fact, that sometimes they will be killed because people will think it is serving God by murdering the followers of Jesus. Jesus says this, and he promises them that God will be with them, but he says that he still has many things to say to them that they cannot bear now. And I think he tells them that because it's true. If we knew at the start of life all the suffering that we would have to go through, all the hardship and all the heartbreak and all the pain, how many of us would say, you know what, God, I'd rather not. Can I just opt out of this life? And yet today we also hear in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul say, that he boasts in his sufferings. Paul says that he boasts in his sufferings because his sufferings produce endurance. And I found that true to be in Rancho Santa Marta. Not just me, I find consistently people go down to Rancho Santa Marta and they know that there will be suffering, right? There will be hard work and early mornings and none of the conveniences of life that we have up here. But what they find is they don't need all those conveniences in life. What they find is, despite maybe having no skill or experience, they can put up the side of a building. They can pour concrete. They can work on a farm. And that suffering produces endurance within them to do hard things. And Paul says, once you experience that endurance, it produces character. And I found that's consistently true in Rancho Santa Marta, that people, having discovered they can do all these hard things, discover they want to do them, not for themselves, but for the children at this school and orphanage. They discover that the character they have is the character of wanting to wake up early to do hard work in the hot sun for children in a foreign land. That's who they are. And Paul says this character, it produces hope. But the question is, hope for what? Because if it's hope that I won't get COVID, or that I'll finish the projects I was sent down there to do, or that I'll get to play with the kids, well, friends, that hope sure disappointed this past week. But Paul says the hope that is produced by our character does not disappoint. And he says the reason is because the hope that we're actually looking for is the hope that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And friends, in years past, I have found that also to be consistently true. In the two past years that I went back in 2017 and 2018, I experienced the joy and the love in my heart of seeing the projects that I have worked on come to completion. This past year, I went down there and I got to take a picture of myself next to the side of a classroom that I put up. I'm pretty sure that board my hand is on is one I nail gunned to the wall. I remember putting in the window for sure. And also, I remember when I was there the previous times, both times there was a boy, 7, 8 years old. His name was Francisco. And each day after we'd do our labor and he'd done his classes, after dinner, he'd come up with a volleyball and he'd challenge us to play volleyball with him and his friends. And they'd always womp us, right? They have nothing to do but learn how to play volleyball. They're so good at this game. And I would experience the love of God poured into my heart every time he ran and came and say, hey, come play. But here's the thing, both of those things, the joy of seeing the achievement of my work, the joy of having a child say, come and play with me, those are only possible if I don't have COVID, which meant they weren't going to happen this time. And this is why it's important to notice that when Paul boasts in his suffering, he says he does so at the very beginning of Romans 5 in verse 1, since we are justified by faith. And what being justified by faith means is that our relationship with God isn't determined by what we accomplish. Instead, our relationship with God is determined by our trust in what God accomplishes. And what that means is Paul is boasting in his suffering, not because God wants us to use suffering to like intentionally inflict pain on ourselves to work our way up this spiritual ladder so that we might receive God's love. No. What Paul is saying is that we have a God who is so committed to achieving our salvation, so committed to ensuring that God's love is poured into our hearts, that our God is able to even use our failure and our suffering to ensure that we know God's love. Jesus, after he tells his disciples that he still has many things to say to them that they cannot bear at that moment, he tells them that the Spirit of truth will come to guide them into truth. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do this in two ways. He says, one, that the Spirit will tell you all the things that are to come. And two, that the Spirit will declare to you disciples the things that are Jesus's, which he makes clear, the things that are Jesus's are everything that the Father has. And friends, what the Father has is the full picture. You and I, as humans, we can only see time in this moment, or maybe we can look a little ways into the past. But God has the full picture. For God, all of eternity is a single moment, and God sees how it all fits together. God the Father, at the beginning of creation, Genesis chapter 1, makes humans. And in that moment, God knows that humans will fall. God knows we will stray. God knows the suffering and the pain that we will endure. And yet, knowing all of that, God makes us anyway and declares us good. Because God knows that at the end of all that suffering, there will be a deeper goodness that prevails for us and with us and in us. And so God makes us. In many ways, it's like the parents at Faith Lutheran who, for nearly 40 years now, have sent their children to Rancho Santa Marta, knowing that they will endure suffering down there, the suffering of hard work in the hot sun. And yet the parents do it because they know that there will be a deeper goodness that comes out of it for their children. It's Father's Day, and so I guess to me it's a very fatherly activity to say, go send the kids to do hard labor for a week. It'll be good for them. Builds character, yeah? But it's not an exclusively fatherly thing to do, right? Many people have that understanding that it is good for us to experience adversity in our life, to discover the deeper truth of who we are and who God is in our lives. And in fact, Scripture tells us it's not just God the Father who has this full picture. It is also God the Son, Jesus. Because Jesus, by choosing to become human, knew ahead of time that it would mean enduring the suffering of the cross and death. And yet, even knowing what Jesus would bear on the cross, Jesus chose to become human because he knew that at the other side of that cross, there would be a deeper goodness for everyone. And so that deeper goodness gave Jesus the will and the strength to bear all the suffering that being human entails. This full picture that God the Father and God the Son has is what the Holy Spirit declares to us. When Jesus says the Holy Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come, I don't think Jesus means the Holy Spirit's going to give us a detailed list of what the headlines are going to be for the next week. No, the Holy Spirit is making a promise to us of what is to come in the end, which is God's goodness. A goodness that awaits us at the end of all the suffering and tribulation in this life. A goodness that will bear us through all the suffering and tribulation in this life. This past week when I was in Rancho Santa Marta, I was texting my wife each night. And one of the things I would text her is where I had seen God that day. And I looked back as I was writing this sermon over those text messages that I sent. And I saw that one of the text messages was that I saw God in Marge Troster. Marge Troster is a member of our congregation who spent her career as a nurse and traveled the world taking care of people in conditions far worse than what we had in Rancho Santa Marta. And from the moment that Josh got sick, she was every few hours checking in on us, taking our temperature, making sure not only we were cared for, but that the rest of our congregation would be safe. And as a result, she ended up getting COVID. Right? But I saw in her the love of a parent who would give anything for their children. I saw in Marge God the Father. And I looked through the text messages, and I saw that on the very first day that I had gotten there, before I started having any symptoms, we had been invited to have dinner in the different homes within the orphanage. Because the way it works is the orphanage is divided into houses with a set of parents who then have 4 to 10 other children in their home so that they grow up as a family unit. And we were randomly split up into homes, and I got sent to one home. And as I went into the home, I started introducing myself. There was a boy who was maybe 15 years old, and I said, my name's Ben. And he said, yes, I know. My name's Francisco. Do you remember me? I said, of course I remember you. And we got to play with him. He learned Tai Chi from the Episcopal priest, Father Richard Yale. In that child, I saw God. I saw God the Son calling me to a relationship once more. And then I looked at the text messages I sent my wife, and the very last day, I told my wife that I saw God in the people of Faith Lutheran. Because you see, at the beginning of the week, Josh had challenged us over the course of the week to try to write a rap. Josh does Christian hip-hop, yeah, so he challenged the rest of us to write a rap about our time in Rancho Santa Marta. And on Thursday night, everyone performed their raps, and there is nothing more inspiring than seeing a dozen middle-aged Lutherans rap about serving orphans in another country. In that moment, I saw the Holy Spirit at work. I saw God in each of those places, and it carried me through my week at Rancho Santa Marta. Not only that, the love I received in each of those moments will bear me through the struggles of many years to come. I would have missed out on that had I said to Jesus, "No thanks, I don't want this suffering." Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and theologians give a fairly complex explanation of what that means. But it's an attempt to describe a reality that the followers of Jesus experienced, which is that they knew God the Father and experienced God fully in God the Father, and they knew Jesus, His Son, and yet they experienced God fully in Jesus. But then they also received the Holy Spirit, and they experienced God fully in the Holy Spirit. These weren't three different parts of one God. Each was fully God, and it wasn't God just changing masks, because sometimes they experienced God in all three at the same time. And what they came to conclude is that there is one God who is known in three persons who share one being, the one being of the God who has the full picture, who declares to us the goodness that is to come, and who bears us through the struggles we experience now. Friends, I tell you this because this past week, the news has been terrifying. And there is a temptation to just stare at our screens day after day, wondering what is to come, what new suffering will we be asked to bear? And if we do that, we won't be able to bear any of it. But if we do not become aware of what is happening in the world will not be able to bear it for lack of Christian witness. And so what I want to invite you to do is, for as much time as you spend reading the news, spend that much time reflecting on where God has shown up in your life that very day, so that, like Paul, you might also boast in your suffering of the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gives you the full picture and who bears you through your sufferings. Amen.